Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 126. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, First Back After the Summer, we'll be mainly looking back on August and the Olympic songs in the 12 Song Challenge and setting a new challenge for September. Welcome back, Sam.
Hey, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. What have you been up to over the summer?
I went to Satellites, which is a youth festival. And led worship in the kids venue, the 5 to 12s.
That's your kind of, that's fun. Good. That's oh, what a nice age. That's
I had never thought that I would dress up as Forky from Toy Story and lead worship, but that's what I did. With Jack Sparrow on bass.
12 is quite a lot older than 5, isn't it? That's quite a big
yeah,
old
it was,
age
they
range.
Did quite well. It's because it's a youth festival.
Oh,
so
okay.
Basically, there's not a lot. We had about 80 kids.
Okay.
So it's quite funny, though, because we had them sat in their age groups.
Yeah.
So the 5 and 6s were on my left.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, they just wander around. They're space cadets. And then the 2 middle groups were the most engaged, doing actions,
yeah,
singing along. And then at the far end, you had the sort of 11s, 12s, a little bit too cool for school.
Yeah.
Most of them not doing the actions. And so it was visually quite a funny little crowd to be leading worship with.
But actually,
they really engaged partly because they're all children of either youth workers or pastors.
Oh, I see.
So they were all super keen, from the first song, like doing the action, singing along. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That sounds fun.
How about you?
Well, nice holiday and things. Off to the States in a few days. I'm going to go to for our Smoky Mountains retreat. So that's going to be so much fun. There'll be about 35 of us there, I think, which
amazing.
Is great. Yeah, and Geraldine and Carey are coming.
Now I'm probably
jealous.
Sorry,
that's an absolute winner, isn't it? I mean, I could name everyone who's coming, but come on, Geraldine and Carey. They are great friends who went out to the States a year ago, and we've talked them into coming to join us in the mountains.
Oh, that's so
good. That's going to be good. We're going to have a few days hanging around Nashville, seeing the sights, meeting a few friends, and we're going to go to the Getty Sing Conference as well, which I've never been to, so that'll be interesting. It has these very long plenary sessions. It calls them plenary sessions. They're about 3 hours long. And they each have 4 speakers, several. I'm quite intrigued to know quite what that means. I hope there'll be a break for coffee somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just really serious. Apart from that, doing stuff and things.
Awesome.
Good. Should we crack on?
Yeah.
12-song challenge.
The challenge for August was to write Olympic songs, songs inspired in all kinds and any way by the wonderful Olympics that were happening in Paris. Did you watch some Olympics, Sam?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And the Paralympics are just starting as we record. And I'm excited about that as well.
Cool. I love the Olympics and getting into all the crazy sports. And basically every night, I love when the athletics comes on. It's my favourite bit, really. It's wall telly athletics every night, punctuated by swimming, shooting, darts, and they haven't got darts.
The shooting is awful watch. I watched a bit of that, and it's so random because they just show like quite a big area and you hear the thing go off, and then it goes bang. And I couldn't see whether it hit anything. And I kept looking going, am I supposed to see? And it was just the worst thing to watch.
Oh, I thought the sailing was quite hard to watch. Because you just sort of, it's a bunch of boats out in a bay somewhere from quite a long distance trying to work out, it's just a load of blobs on the water. Very hard to do.
The mountain biking, hours and hours and hours of people riding around the same track.
Yeah.
That wasn't exciting.
Although
apparently we did really well in the last minute dash or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What was his name? Pitcock.
Yeah,
I literally switched on just as that was happening. And well, I switched well. I was like, oh, this is good. Yay,
other
we won
people
the gold.
Have invested like eight Thank hours you. Of their life Thank watching you. That race.
So anyway, lots of lovely Olympic memories. But we asked you, dear people, to take inspiration from the Olympics in any and all kinds of ways. And I have asked, as usual, our venerable team captains to pick out a song that we might like to listen to. So we're going to kick off with Team Fisher, Andrew Findon, who says, Rebecca Bees and I are picking David Davis and his epic and ambitious French song. He's had a go at something very different in a language not his own. Ooh, ooh la la. And done a fantastic job with a stirring anthem. Here we go.
Levez-les, mes vieux, le ciel, la victoire est éternelle. Nous marchons avec la foi, nous avançons pas à pas. Le tambour bat pour nous, tous ensemble on garde vous. Des prières nous allaient, nous en chantons en paix.
Awesome.
Well, that is extraordinary. I need to just read what David has written on his when he posted it. I do not speak any French whatsoever, so I decided to write a song in French for the Paris Olympics. and it's I mean, it sounds French.
Sounds French to me.
I presume he's just put the words into Google Translate or something.
Who knows? But amazing.
We are the nous sommes les champions de la foi. We are the champions of the faith. Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
Okay, next we have Ruth and Rob picking from Fitzroy, and they have chosen How Wonderful by Ian Wilson, which is a version of Psalm 133. And Ian says, having been to France over the summer to attend several Olympics events, the thing that struck me was the togetherness of the competitors. This made me think of Psalm 133. The song is short and simple. The melody that flows with the lyrics, it has gorgeous harmonies. So, sorry, this is now Ruth and Rob commenting and saying that the song is short and simple. The melody that flows with the lyrics and it has gorgeous harmonies and a 9/8 bar and the vivid yet infrequently used imagery of Aaron's holy oil. Let's have a listen.
How wonderful, how beautiful, when people live in unity. How beautiful when people live in unity, like oil flowing, down from Aaron's head, like dew. How beautiful.
That's pretty nice, isn't it?
Really, well, nice.
Really,
good job.
The musical painting of like oil flowing, oil flow. Yeah, really good. What should we have next? Flowing.
Let's.
Oh, Owen Ringrose of Portland writes, I'm on holiday at the moment. But I picked one anyway. This is by Kane Blake. So short and sweet from Owen, because she's drinking sangria on a beach somewhere. Here's Kane Blake, Running with Endurance.
Before creation took a breath and the stars began to shine, before the Maker's masterpiece was made by hands divine, the Lord has set your steps in place, the race you are to run, and at the end awaits the prize which Christ already won. So keep your eyes on the prize of God's salvation, set your mind to things above. Run with faith and assurance on the promise. You're running home to the cause of grace, into the Father's embrace.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good job, Kane. Okay, next up is Elise choosing from Lundy, and she has chosen David Alexander's hymn By Witnesses Surrounded, which is based on Hebrews 12, 1-3. He's written a tune, and you can listen to that
So he hasn't written a tune. It's a Swedish melody, Maria's love sang.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, there you go.
He has he's written some lyrics for it. So I'll read the first verse. So it says, surrounded now by witnesses, we have a race to run. We lay aside the burdens that prevent it being won. We look alone to Jesus, who's ahead and calls us on. The cross endured, he has assured us through what he has done. I'll read the second verse as well. He's seated by the throne of God where joy replaces shame. Hostility from sinners has no bearing, casts no blame. In all you're doing, may you not grow weary or lose heart, but run the race in confidence each step from where you start.
That's really good.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. And at least particularly pulled out that last couplet as a really good one.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Good work. Andy Clark of German Bite has picked out a song by Kath Butler where he says the Spirit Flame Olympic Flame is a great link and features some beautiful melodic hooks and nice chord choices, which is, you know, just Andy's thing.
There's a flame that gathers the nations, ignited by the sun, a call to share. Spirit blaze.
It's anthemic.
Yeah, anthemic. Hopefully the Olympics link is obvious enough, says Kath. And we say, we.
We.
Sit obvious. I think so. The Olympic flag. Yeah, really good. Yeah, I love it. And yeah. It needs it. Yeah, I love that. You want an anthemic sounding song that's linked to the Olympics.
Totally. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, good stuff. Chris Juby has picked a song from Fastnet, which is by Chris Shackleton and Chloe Rose. And this is called One Devotion.
The bar is high, and I don't know if we can make it, though we try. It never seems enough. The time is short, and we still wait for a savior. Though we run, we stumble and we fall. The elders tell us of the story, casting down their crowns of glory. Christ is formed in us, the world is waiting.
Hey, that's a great little collaboration, isn't it?
Isn't it? Who does that remind you of, Sam?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, of course it does. Really well.
Very cool.
It's interesting that Chris and Chloe weren't so sure. They said, oh, maybe the verse is not very kind of accessible for congregation. But it's so, like, the lines are so short and so accurately repeated. Yeah. They're just like a slightly different rhythm to a four square or... I can't see why that. I can't see why it couldn't be. Personally,
yeah, I think that would. I think that would go down really well.
Yeah, great work. Okay, David Brackenberry. He's picked Robin Olesko and the song "Yes, He Saves." Robin has developed the Olympic theme to produce a song which includes lots of references to physical activity and exertion. Has managed to write a really infectious melody, which I think lends itself really well to the sense of being active and moving. She's engaged really well to feedback and encouragement from others in the 12-song community to shape it up and work out where to focus her attention on refining things. Great job, Robin.
Ooh, I leap with joy because my Lord, he says, oh, this child of mine I will run out to find. Ooh, I will dance and shout because God Almighty, yes, he saves. Ooh, I will run around just to share the good news, or I will make disciples of the Gentiles and Jews. Oh, I will dance and shout because God Almighty, yes, he saves. Yes, he saves. When I find myself stuck in the lion's den, my God will come and shut them out. When I find myself lost in the wilderness, my God will be my light and guide. Oh, I will leap with joy because my Lord, he says, oh, this child of mine I will run out to find. Oh, I will dance and shout because God Almighty, yes, he saves. I will run around just to share the good news. I will make disciples of the Gentiles and Jews. Oh, I will dance and shout because God Almighty.
That's a bop.
Isn't that good?
Dancing to that.
I was dancing to it. When it first came on, I started to imagine... do you remember Paolo Nutini?
Yes.
I can imagine him doing that. It sounds really good.
Yeah, it's great.
Vibes. I'm going to say that one's got vibes.
Vibes for days.
And I'm not ashamed of saying it. We have got a clip from the great Travis Ham, who has actually he has sent us his song with a clip. So should we hear what Travis has to say?
Lovey.
Howdy, y'all. This is Travis Ham from Team Shannon. The song I've chosen for this month is Louise Houghton's song, Heroes of the Faith, which begins by looking back on Hebrews 11 and then beautifully unpacks Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3. Louise has done a fantastic job engaging with feedback from other songwriters in the forum, resulting in verses that not only richly tell the story, but are also an absolute delight to sing. The harmonic shifts she makes in verse 3 are especially nice, as the thoughtful dissonance she adds to that section is so well fitted to her imagery of Christ's crucifixion.
Spectators in the crowd surround and call us to endure. Those with us now and saints of old who've run the race before. The heroes of our faith inspire, applaud us from the start. Their cheers too strained to
It's really nice.
And Travis.
Good. Thanks, Travis.
I'm going to give you mine now from Team Viking. It's Stephen Sloss, the Slossmeister General, and his song, The Glory Is All For You. He digs right into that athletic metaphor, as you'll be able to tell right from the start.
I take to my knees, put my hands on the line. I'm placing my feet on blocks set behind, ready to run the race, powered by your grace. Ready to run the race, powered by your grace. The glory is all for you. The glory is all for you. All the tears and the pain, for the medals and fame, all the years made to train. Let the winning explain. I'm giving it all to you, Jesus. I'm giving it all to you, Jesus. I'm giving it all to you, Jesus. I'm giving it all to you. Crowd's murmurs fade as my eyes fix on you.
This body... That's vibey as well, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. Really good. Lots of, so many like metaphors and images. Finally.
Yeah.
I am going to point you towards the lovely Ian Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Who's written a song in a Paris 1936 Olympic jazz vibe.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is
yes.
What most of my songs are written in, but, you know.
It's what you wish most of your songs were written in.
Using his tenor guitar. He's written it in French.
Yeah.
And then he was off to Teze.
I know.
And so people were like, dude, sing it at Teze in French.
Do you think he sang it at Teze in French?
He didn't then feed back.
Oh, I tell you what, though. What I do know is because he was there with Rob Sutherland.
Ah.
And Rob Sutherland reported back that he led a headbanging version of My Redeemer Lives in a village church outside Teze, which took them all quite by surprise.
Yeah,
apparently. Oh, come on then. Let's listen to Ian.
Depuis cette leçon, la course est lancée, je ne regrette rien. Je suis dans la zone, je cherche de l'eau, je ne regarde pas en arrière. Donc j'y cours.
ترسم بود je frappe non pas en l'air je traduis mon corps donc je ne serai pas moi-même rejeté
nous avons une couronne incorruptible alléluia nous avons une couronne incorruptible alléluia gagné la grâce de Jésus Christ alléluia.
I think I want to just keep listening. Can we?
It's amazing.
Can we
the
have
time
this?
Change for the chorus?
I know. Can we just have this little guitar bit just going underneath?
Oh, yeah.
Or every time we are introducing new songs or something?
Yeah.
I'm going
I think
to ask,
we should.
I'm going to ask Ian if we can have it.
Yeah. So classy. I love it. Why isn't all worship songs like that?
We can have it under the. You can do it under the notices at church. After. This means we have an incorruptible crown gained through the grace of Jesus Christ.
Very good.
I think that's one of my favourite moments in the history of the 12 Song Challenge, right there.
Well done, Ian.
I feel so happy.
You win.
Ian wins. Actually, Ian does win because we haven't managed to do a Star of the Month this month because we are lacking some of the exhaustive researching to find it. So you're all Star of the Month this month, and we'll bring it back next month. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Great. I wanted just to say two things following up from our wonderful showcase. We love doing these showcases, which are just based on conversations I've had with people. And one of them is, obviously, when Sam and I and the rest of the team leads and so on pick out these songs to play on the podcast, we don't then follow up with a full-on heavy critique because it would be a bit mean to pick it out and then say, oh, yep. Here's what's wrong with it. So what we do is we pick them out and say, we love them. Here's what we love about them. But when we're critiquing in Song Club, in the forum, actually there, instead of just saying, oh, I love this. Here's what I love about it. We also say, you could change this, you could try that. So don't see this, if that makes sense, as a model of critique. But we might, because what we used to do sometimes was to bring our own songs or other things and critique one another. I think we might try over the next couple of months to sort of set up a situation where we can do some kind of model song critiquing, because I think that could be helpful. And the other thing I want to say is, there are some great songs here, and some of them, let's be honest, are packed with some slightly silly athletic metaphors at times. But when you're writing these songs for the 12 Song Challenge, if you get to the end of the month and you think, this is not a bad song, you don't have to stay within the parameters of the challenge. You don't have to start with the seed idea that got you there. You could say, oh, this is actually quite good. Maybe I'll take out the bit about medals and about running spikes, but I'll put in something else. So nobody else would see this thinking, oh, it's an Olympic song. They just think, oh, what a helpful worship song.
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Great.
Terrific. 12 Song Challenge. The challenge for September is to write songs for someone. So this is actually inspired. It's inspired by Steph McLeod coming to share songs with us at the songwriting retreat, which was really fantastic. And then Kath Butler got in touch with me afterwards and said, sort of inspired by that, how about this as a challenge? How about this idea that you write a song? So essentially it's this. You write a song that is for someone. And that would be someone in your church congregation, someone in your life. And it's a song for them that would be good for them to sing, is the kind of idea. So what's the song that that someone, very specific, one person, needs to sing?
Yeah.
But then there's another part to it, which is, well, given that's the case, can I then also take that song and achieve that in a way which makes it quite open for other people to join in and relevant to them?
Yeah.
So the point is kind of about this idea from personal to universal. It's quite an important thing we do in congregational songwriting. Quite often we write the thing that's on our heart or the thing that's about, you know, in this case, actually for someone else's words, in a sense, or to help them or to come from the right standpoint or whatever it might be. But then what we do is we develop it to try and make it more universal. Not completely comprehensive, but does that make sense, Sam? Am I making sense?
It makes sense.
Could you
to
put
me.
That in different words?
Well, in the sense that it's inspired by one person and one person's particular needs or what it is that they need to say, but ultimately, you know, you then want to make it congregational and universal. So yeah, that you're then expanding out of that. But you, that's the seed idea, and then you're letting the seed, you know, grow into a full song.
Yeah. So I think you know, when you write your song, we'd love to hear a little bit about who you've written it for. But obviously, when you share it, be sensitive to, don't give us their name and all the, you know, be sensitive with details. It's, you know, for somebody in this situation or whatever it might be, because then that helps us to see. But go on.
Can I ask a question?
Of course you can.
I'm assuming that what we're saying here is what people need. Is it sort of like emotionally, relationally, rather than like, I talked to this person and they said, I wish we more had songs from Revelation in church.
Yeah, I think what you said first. Less kind of, what does somebody think is missing in church? But what would be the words? Yeah, what would be a great song for this person to sing? So if it's somebody who is... It could be. It's somebody who is just absolutely bouncing with life. And these are the words. Or it could be somebody who is struggling under the burden of debt. Or it could be somebody who is grieving. Or it could be somebody... Who, I don't know. A range of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're really trying to think, what would be helpful words for them in their situation? Yeah. But this is the challenge bit of it is, can I do that in a way where other people singing it don't think, oh, this is for a really specific situation, but they think... This is a great thing to sing. Yeah. And that doesn't mean you always have to all buy into every aspect of it, but you kind of need to, it's kind of needs to make sense. So, you know, when we talked about a lament quite a bit over the last couple of years, not everybody in your church is lamenting, but you need to sing that song together because you're singing the song of those people. But it still needs to kind of make sense to everyone rather than be so kind of particular or specific that it just really excludes people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same thing, but Adrian Mathena's song from this last month, he has a line, when there's someone that you miss. Which people kind of were a bit like, oh, what is that? But he explained that that was based on one of his, I think it was one of his children. And I actually, I think a few of us on the forum went, oh yeah, that's such a great line. Like, you know, and it's not something that we sing about in worship songs, but almost everyone has got, whether that's in a grief situation or whether that's just because someone's moved away or, you know, a friend that you don't see anymore, whatever, like, you know, that's actually a very real thing, you know, that, you know, when there's somebody that we miss, actually we can turn to God. So maybe that's a
that's really helpful. So some ways you could approach this. Clearly, you could talk to somebody and say, I want to write a worship song that you would really like to sing. What's going on? Or you could imagine someone in your mind's eye. I quite often find it's helpful just to literally imagine the person in church singing it and kind of I picture their face. I hear their voice. So I imagine that. I think it's quite useful. And I think a bunch of us probably do this instinctively anyway when we're writing things for people. A few little tips on the kind of from the personal to the universal thing. One is to not sort of overstate or overname things, so being overly specific. To talk in slightly broader, slightly more generalized language, and if you're using quite poetic language, it's that kind of language which means that the person you're writing it for, when they sing this phrase, it's going to take them straight to the thing you're trying to address. But for someone else, it's still going to make sense, but it can't take them to the same situation because they're different people. So that's the kind of strength of it. And that often means using plainer words rather than really details or specific words, more generalized. One really, I guess, kind of obvious little trick is to, rather than say, I am sad because I'm in debt, when I am sad... immediately is a more universal one because it kind of everybody can say, well, I'm not right now, or I am right now, and therefore it has a kind of relevance to.
Yeah. The poetic language one, I've probably used this example before, but there's the end of Stuart Townend's Christ Be In My Waking has that verse, Christ when hope has faded, nothing left to cling to, every pleasure jaded, every well is dry. And he could have said, God, when I'm feeling depressed,
yeah,
you're still there.
Yeah.
But that language of every pleasure jaded, every well is dry. And it is that Christ when hope has.
Yeah.
So it's the when language. But the just using those little images to me is so paints it so well. And it doesn't, you know, it means that so many people can relate to it.
Yep.
Because it's not too specific, but it's just giving you those little nuggets of a experience.
Yeah. So I predict the challenge in this challenge will not necessarily be trying to write a song that would be with someone in mind. The challenge will be the process of how do you then listen to your team on Song Club who say, yeah, but that feels too specific. It wouldn't make sense. I think that would be quite hard. I think that will actually be quite emotionally difficult at times.
Yeah.
And so I just want us to see this as an exercise in processing this. And I would say, don't be too precious. You know, in this particular exercise, when somebody says, oh, I can't, doesn't really make sense to me, well, go with that. You know, follow that and try it and see. You know, if you get to the end of the month and you think, oh, you know, I had this great song and I ruined it, well, that's fine. Just go back to what you had.
Yeah.
But try and engage with the ways that other people are interacting with it and kind of be brave in that sense. I think sometimes people feel kind of scared of tampering with things, especially when it has feels quite personal. And the way I describe it sometimes is you say, right, I've written this version for the person that I really want it to be. I'm just going to park that now and I'm going to take the framework and I'm going to refill it with things.
Yeah.
And I know I've got the one that I always wanted to have, but I'm going to work through this process and see where I get to. And sometimes I think you'll be so surprised that actually what you end up with is even more powerful because you have had to think beyond the specifics and you've had to create a kind of language, a kind of poetry that describes things in a richer way. And you can end up with a better song.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. We're going to do this. Songs for Someone. Like I said, tell us a bit about who it's for, but be judicious in, you know, obviously don't overshare the details. We will look forward to this and we'll come back next month to check it all out. Well, that's all for this month. And all that remains is to introduce our featured song, which Sam is going to do.
Yeah, so this is my song Time for Tears, which got re-recorded for the Downcast Souls Expectant Hearts album. Lovely new version. And I wrote this after reading a Facebook post where someone was saying, oh, I'm leading worship for, you know, a funeral of a friend and I just don't know what to sing. I don't know what to choose. How do you navigate this? And I thought, that's crazy. It's crazy that we don't have songs that allow us to grieve and be honest about, you know, losing people. And so, yeah, that's where that came out of. And hopefully so.
Thank you. Right. See you, Sam. Bye.
Bye.
There's a time for tears and a time for pain. Time to